are so many milestones we hit growing up, from taking our first steps to getting our driver's license. Some rites of passage are universal, while others are specific to culture or gender. For young girls aged 10 to 15, a significant event is the start of the menstrual cycle. While it can be an exciting time, it may come with some burdens. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists report that pain is the most common menstrual symptom in young women. It can become so unbearable that it interrupts school, work, and social activities. Fortunately for Asha Dickens, she was part of a small percentage of women who didn't have any issues with her monthly period. But after 37 years of life, her luck had run out.
I had the worst period of my life. I had been on my cycle. It was coming towards the end, but I had these really miserable cramps on a day where I should have been ending my period.
Dickens traveled to her aunt's house for the weekend and chose to power through the pain. But no matter what she did, her body continued shutting down.
I had to lie down on the floor. I had gone to the grocery store. I had to hold on to the aisles or something because I felt really weak and like I just couldn't stand. I made it to my aunt's house and I just started feeling really, really dizzy. And I said, I need to go lie down. I'll go to the back to lie down. And the next thing I know, I open my eyes and my dad is over me. My mom's over me. All these people are surrounding me, asking me if I'm okay. And apparently I passed out.
Dickens was taken to the emergency room where she was told that there was a ruptured cyst on her ovary. Ovarian cysts are somewhat common and usually aren't something to be overly concerned about. But for a small percentage of women like Dickens, they can cause severe pain. Dickens' gynecologist gave her pain medication and told her not to worry. But 5 months later, Dickens was in the same excruciating situation.
And so I had some of the medication they had given me the last time and I felt better. Saw my doctor that Monday. I didn't even go to the emergency room. When she saw me, she said, let's check you again. Might need to do a pelvic evacuation this time because the fluid is having a little bit of trouble leaving and we don't want this to become toxic. So I opted to have the laparoscopy.
A laparoscopy is a procedure that checks organs in the abdomen, like the appendix, and also female pelvic organs, like the ovaries. A video camera is attached to a thin tube that's passed through a small cut on the patient's belly. Dickens' doctor discovered a cyst filled with endometrial fluid called an endometrioma. Its presence meant that Dickens had endometriosis, a disease that affects about 1 in 10 women in America.
It's basically when tissue that's very similar to the lining of the endometrium occurs outside of the uterus. So it can occur on the ovaries, it can occur in the ligaments, it can occur on the bladder, it can stick itself to the bowel, but it can also actually occur in other places like in the diaphragm. And there have been cases where people have had it in their nasal passages and things like that, but usually it's in the pelvis.
That's Dr. Jody Avery, a senior research fellow of the Endometriosis Research Group at the University of Adelaide in Australia. Endometriosis can cause infertility and mess with the body's natural functions, but the main concern is the pain it causes.
That leads to women and girls not being able to work productively, not being able to attend school and social occasions. Every month, they may need to take a whole week off, and it really takes them out of society.
Unfortunately, many cases of endometriosis are misdiagnosed. In Australia, Avery says it takes an average of 6.5 years for women to finally be diagnosed.
We've got women who are taking 6.5 years worth of monthly cycles off work, off study. Their quality of life is ruined for 6.5 years. They can't get on with their lives.
And the time gap is even worse in America. Yale Medicine estimates that it can take up to 11 years after the onset of symptoms for an American woman to be diagnosed. Endometriosis often occurs at the start of puberty, so some girls may be dealing with this unbearable pain for the entirety of their teenage years and early 20s without any answers. Instead of a diagnosis, they're told it's a normal part of the menstrual cycle.
People with endometriosis quite often get told, your period pain is just normal. Or if they say to their mum, why have I got such bad pain? The mum might say, oh, all women have to suffer through this because she's actually had it as well, but she didn't know. So giving a person a diagnosis is all about validation and making them feel like their pain is something that's really important and we need to fix it. It's not just something in the head.
The ACOG says that doctors can perform pelvic exams or use imaging technology, but the only way to be certain that someone has endometriosis is to perform a laparoscopy. However, Europe and Australia have changed the recommendations to encourage more timely diagnoses. In 2016, researchers conducted an in-depth review that looked at the viability of using imaging to diagnose the disease.
What they found after looking through 15,000 papers for the first imaging review, we call it, they found that ultrasound and MRI were really, really good at finding out whether someone had endometriosis or not. However, just because they say that they didn't have endometriosis doesn't mean that they didn't have endometriosis. So, and from that evidence, because it's like the highest form of evidence you can get, ESHRAE, which is the European Society of Reproductive Medicine, came along and rewrote the guidelines and said, yes, now we can use imaging to diagnose endometriosis. And once we do have a diagnosis, then we can decide whether we need to go to surgery and have a laparoscopy or not.
Avery says the best imaging method for diagnosing endometriosis is called a transvaginal ultrasound. A device is inserted into the vagina and provides a clear picture of the organs inside the pelvic cavity, such as the cervix, uterus, and ovaries. But since this research was published in 2016, Avery, along with a research team, was invited to update the information in a 2023 systematic review published in the Journal of Fertility and Sterility.
We decided to look at any papers that came along about ultrasound or MRI or CT to see what was going on as far as imaging goes. And I brought together a team of radiologists and sonologists and sonographers and fertility specialists and surgeons and asked them all to write a piece on what were the clinical implications of these different imaging techniques. And we found so many papers and we had so much information, we actually had to write two reviews.
The first one is centered on ultrasounds, while the second covers MRIs.
We're doing all this work because we're actually trying to create a new way to diagnose endometriosis using ultrasound and combining it with MRI and then using artificial intelligence to create an algorithm which will increase the probability of a diagnosis of endometriosis in women.
The team's been working on this technology for 4 years. The algorithm can notice the different signs of this disease, such as a sliding sign, which determines if the uterus has lost its normal sliding motion. Another is called kissing ovaries, which is when there's so much scarring that the ovaries are pulled closer together. The only problem is that doing this research in Adelaide means that they don't have access to the thousands of scans needed to improve the algorithm. So they've partnered with other researchers around the world to help. The University of Cambridge in the UK, the University of Jakarta in Indonesia, as well as the Mayo Clinic and UCLA in America are just a few of the places aiding in this project. With more diagnostic options, we may be able to give young women solutions to their pain instead of writing it off as a burden of womanhood.
If we could just go, okay, you've got pelvic pain. What are we going to do about it? Oh, I might send you to go and get a transvaginal ultrasound. So the next week or so, you get into the sonography practice, you get a transvaginal ultrasound, and you get a diagnosis of endometriosis. So then we can start planning what kind of therapy you're going to have, whether we can help you alleviate your pain through physiotherapy or medication. You can go on a waiting list for surgery, but at least you've got other things that you can do in the meantime.
The current treatment options for endometriosis include surgery to remove or burn off the rogue tissue, physiotherapy, and medication to manage the pain. The FDA approved the first medication for endometriosis-related pain in 2018. However, not everyone wants to rely on pharmaceuticals, including Dickens. After rupturing another cyst in 2019, she decided to overhaul her life and take a holistic approach to fighting this disease.
After that happened, I said, okay, this is something that's going to be with me for the rest of my life. I have to continue these lifestyle changes forever. I changed my diet. I stopped eating red meat. I adopted a more Mediterranean diet. I do have, so interestingly, I've always had acid reflux and GERD and IBS. And what I've learned is those are also symptoms of endometriosis. So those could have been markers that did let me know I had the condition. I just didn't associate them. So another thing that I do is I try to reduce the acid reflux, the GERD, the irritable bowel, by also practicing a low FODMAP diet from time to time.
It's a short-term elimination diet to figure out which ingredients are causing the irritation. And though Dickens has found a treatment plan that lets her live a painless life, she could have had answers sooner. If she had known that IBS and GERD were connected to endometriosis, Dickens may have been able to avoid extreme pain caused by her ruptured cysts. She believes this education should start in school, since so many cases of this disease begin in young girls.
I feel as though it would have been really helpful at that point in time to learn about things that could go wrong with your period, not in a way that scares children, But in a way that educates you, because what I do know is there are many women who learn or have had signs when they were very early in their cycles and you don't get diagnosed, you know, for years. And so if you have the ability to discern like, oh, this is not normal or something's not right, I think that that makes the journey a little bit easier.
You can find resources on female health, as well as more information about Asha Dickens, Dr. Jody Avery, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield. Coming up next week on Radio Health Journal.
Like a major class of drugs was made illegal back in the 1960s. And now we have the opportunity to bring that class of drug back in a careful way.
Are we entering an era of psychedelic therapy?
But first, is the cancer drug shortage a result of industry greed?
It's a generic drug and there's not much money to be made. And I mean, I thought it was pretty irrelevant that people aren't making enough money on saving my life.
All that and more on Radio Health Journal.
I'm Greg Johnson, host of Radio Health Journal. If you enjoy listening to Radio Health Journal, you'll also like our sister show, Viewpoints, which covers a wide array of topics from education to history to the environment. Here's a preview of what they're covering this week on Viewpoints.
All that was a direct rebuke to the messaging that we get as older women, that we're sort of on this downhill slide of cognitive decline and frail bones, and certainly, you know, we're boring.
A lesson on venturing outside your comfort zone. Then,
they're very able to put up with noise and traffic and all the other disturbances that humans bring to the environment.
Our long and complicated coexistence with white-tailed deer. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Listen to Viewpoints Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content. And tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.